You're listening to Blue Yonder with your hosts, Jim Jones, Peter Streets, and introducing Aaron Hubbard.
Okay, another episode of Blue Yonder, 48 weeks straight, still going strong.
It's a marathon.
I'm Jim Jones.
I'm Aaron Hubbard.
I hate these intros. These intros suck.
I just want to make sure people know who the smart guy is
and who's
the fucking idiot.
They know. Trust me. The guy making me do the intros.
By the way,
is calling you all idiots.
By the way, while we're calling each other out, I wanted to call you out on a bitch move, yo.
Bring it.
Bitch move, yo. My friend here had an attack of 13-year-old girl on the internet syndrome on Facebook. He did the defriend-a-palooza, the purge, the friend purge, which everyone does from time to time. I know I do. It's like anytime my friends list gets into the mid-hundreds, I'm like, I don't know who the F are all these people. Like this person's posting crazy stuff on my page. I'm starting to, you know, blast it down to bedrock. What my friend Jim here did is he announced, he says, get ready for the great friend purge, y'all. If we don't talk, you're going down. You're going away. Fuck off. And then the day after he gave people a day to wheedle on his wall and make the state case for them being friends, he then purged people.
I'll admit my mistake was that I posted at work, and I can't actually go through my friends list and defriend everybody at work because I just like.
But why would you? Why would you announce it? I don't understand. It's like it seems like the only thing you're doing is rubbing in people's face.
I'm okay with that.
And I've seen other people do this, but you know what is all common about those people?
Mm-hmm.
They've all been women.
They're all 13-year-old girls.
No, well, I've seen some grown ass women do it, but they've all been women.
Well,
they've all been of the double X persuasion.
I go for the operation next week, man. I mean, just getting a head start. That's all.
Well, when you become a transsexual, can we revisit the LGBT stuff?
Absolutely.
So, you know, we can actually have a valid perspective.
Sure.
Because I've never had one person say, when I mention it, they're like, what the hell are you guys going to talk about, you know, gay issues on? And I'm like, I don't
really
know.
Did they jump up your ass about it?
They didn't jump my ass. They were just like incredulous because they hadn't heard the cast yet. And I'm like, well, I mean,
oh, well, point them to the cast because we both think it's strong.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. So yeah, I wanted to. So why did you do it again?
Well, I wanted to give people a chance to prove that they're valuable to me. Like,
it's like a gladiatorial contest.
It really is.
Fight.
I mean, I got like one guy who I probably would have defriended actually convinced me to not defriend him, and not by like begging me or anything. But just mentioning something that I had forgotten in passing.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, oh, well, I'm glad I did this now. So, I mean, it was a 13-year-old girl MySpace move, but still.
I heard Zuckerberg pulled some strings to get him on. Yeah, he like, you know, it was like a 13th hour negotiation. He called you up and was like, look, Jim, look. I know there's been things been said, and there's been some heated words, some rash actions. I need you to keep this friend.
I now own one share of Facebook stock. I'm worth $4.8 billion.
I think you're $4.8.
No, 4.8 share? Bucks. Man. No, there's like
one
three
share?
Shares going
Oh, really?
Around.
Zuckerberg, Justin Timberlake has one. So you got Mark?
No, Jesse Eisenberg and Justin Timberlake share one.
Okay, so they have
they
a half
their
share
money,
of the
yeah.
And then his friend, and then you.
And then me. I'm the,
okay.
fourth share. Yeah.
That's strong.
$4.8 billion.
So I think we're going to renegotiate the rent split next time we talk about it.
Great.
So okay.
I've got a little topic before we get into the meat that I wanted to discuss.
Yeah, I got some meat.
I've been thinking about this for a while now because ever since I moved into my new place, I've got a really stiff lock on my door.
Oh, like, God. I'm glad you said lock.
A really stiff lock on my door. And so I, like, try to lock it every morning, and it takes me, like, 5 seconds to get the freaking key in the right position. And it really freaking annoys me.
This
so,
is a first world problem, this, as yeah, Joko says, it, Jonathan Colton says.
Yeah. So I'm, like, I'm thinking, why are we still using these hunks of metal to unlock and lock our doors? Why aren't we using, like, fingerprint scanners or codes or swipe cards or something? They're out there.
Well,
why can't we put them on apartment buildings and houses?
You could. In fact, they're there. I mean, they just suck and they're insecure.
Why do they suck? Why are they insecure?
Well, they suck because, number one, you can't revoke a person's key. So let's say you break up with a girlfriend. You're going to, you know...
Sure you can. If it's a fingerprint scanner, you go, like, you call them up on your smartphone. You say, we're fucking broken up. You turn around and go to the webpage for your lock on your smartphone
I'm sorry, and take them off the list. I mean, if someone compromises your fingerprint and they've done on Mythbusters, there's a million different, like, $5 solutions to lift someone's fingerprint and fool the machine. In fact, some of the cheaper locks, they actually just held their finger to a copy machine, did the copy, held that copy up to the door, and it let them in. So, like, the kind of technology just isn't there. The other thing is, like, when it gets cold and your hallway is frigid, it doesn't really work. And then you think that 5 seconds, wait until you're at the door, 20 seconds. Like, no, accept. No, accept.
Sure, okay.
No, you've must, you know.
Okay, so what about, like, swipe cards or like, key codes?
I think swipe, I mean, key numbers, codes, anything, I don't know. My thing is, I think swipe cards would be awesome, like an RFID type of system.
Yeah, because that's what I have at work. Every door at work has those on
and
they
if
work
it's good
flawlessly.
Enough for hotels and all that kind of stuff, just as long as it's easy. My big thing is it easy to revoke, you know, and is it easy
it
to...
It should be. I mean, they should all have web interfaces.
I don't
literally,
think they do.
No, I'm saying they should.
Well,
they should all have web interfaces.
So your lock's going to be powered?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how are you going to power it? With what... How are you going to get a cord?
What do you mean?
You're going to run off batteries?
No, God, no. Because then you get locked out when your batteries go
exactly.
down.
Exactly.
No, you run a cord into your door. What's wrong with that?
It's on a hinge.
So what?
That greatly increases the complexity of the device.
Oh, God. It's not like, dude, we're building fucking space shuttles.
But it's not. Do you want a door to cost $1,000 and like
$1,000
and after
for
a thousand opens for that wire, that wire's going to break and now you can't get into your door?
Dude, use the hinge as an electric transmitting device.
I think, like, the reason we still use keys is because they're inexpensive, they're easy to rekey, and they're relatively secure. A good quality, like $50 lock is. You know, you have to have some skill and time to pick it.
The interesting thing is, I could probably pick any one of these locks in this building. Like, when I was living over on the west side, I was learning how to lockpick, and I had a lockpick set.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and I picked it in about 5 seconds.
You remember a friend, Lawson? Well, I don't know if he's ever your friend. You know who I'm talking about?
Sure, yeah.
He actually became a locksmith and taught me, and I got a locksmith. And so but still, on a high-quality lock, it's going to take me 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
but there are not high quality locks on these things.
No, but I would be surprised if you get in like a minute or two. And
I got in a few seconds.
Really?
On the mic. I mean, it felt like a cheaper lock than some, but I mean, 30 seconds. You could sit in my hallway for 20 minutes and nobody would see you.
There's nothing stopping
you
from change. Well, I guess they probably do require access to your building.
Yeah, they do.
I was going to say, because there's nothing stopping you from changing that lock, but I'm like, oh, yeah, they'll just like bust your door down.
They will.
That's the thing about apartment life. People are always coming in and changing your air filter and rifling through your underwear drawer.
Dude, I love it. Let them come in. Dude, let them stick
their
hands
in my underwear
drawer. That's true.
You right now have an underwear pile. I'm looking at it.
No, get out of here.
It's in a laundry basket, I guess.
No, dude, it's in my closet up on a shelf.
Oh,
get out of town.
That's
dirty clothes in that
I'm
laundry
just saying,
basket.
This is a bachelor pad.
It is. I'm not going to deny that, but I don't keep my underwear in a pile on the floor.
No.
That's what I'm saying to you.
No. Okay, that's fair.
All right.
So that's why...
Anyway, this goes along with my thing about flying cars. What the fuck are we doing?
It would be pretty sweet because an RFID, you wouldn't even have to get your, like, screw the mag stripe. I want an RFID card that's got, like, a range of, like, seven, like Great Wolf Lodge. the water theme parks.
That sounds like the place that Fred Flintstone goes to meet with his water buffalo group.
Loyal Order Water Buffalo.
Yeah.
Oh, man. God, that reminds me of a Weird Al Yankovic song.
Oh, God. Wow. That's
what
old.
Was that? It was about the Flintstones, but...
Yeah.
Me and Barney, Loyal Order Water Buffalo. It was to the Give It Away.
Yeah, it was.
Is Yabba Dabba Doo now.
Yep, you're right. Okay, now it's coming back.
Yeah, Yabba Dabba, Yabba Dabba, Yabba Doo.
Was that
now.
On the same album? Was that on the Jurassic Park album?
Might have been.
Okay.
I love Weird Al. Like, Weird Al was Jonathan awesome. Colton before Jonathan Colton was around.
Yeah.
So, I would still, and I've heard he's a fun concert. Okay. If he
even
ever...
though he's like 72 now.
No, he's not that old.
No, he's not that old.
We're getting a little off topic.
Sure we are.
What were we talking about?
Logs.
Oh, yeah. Like if you had like a 6 or 7 inch Great Wolf Lodge, that's where I was at.
Yeah,
they have these wristbands that get you into the park, but they also have a little RFID chip that's about the size like a 1 inch by 1 inch square.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hold that thing against your door lock, like within 6 inches of your door lock, it opens it up.
Yeah.
And I thought it's like, you know, if you had that like card in your wallet, you could just take your wallet out and wave it in front of your door and you're in.
Absolutely.
So yeah, okay. I'm warming up to that. If I ever have another house, I'm gonna put RFID cards entries.
You should. That's, I would love that's I hot. Would put one on here, but it's an apartment and they would probably bust down my door.
Yeah. So next topic?
Yeah. Bring it on. You got a topic?
All right. So I was thinking about gaming stores because Penny Arcade just had a three-part strip where I guess their local gaming store, their friendly local gaming store, is owned by a meathead jock that hates nerds. And they actually talk about like they go like
what?
The strip and like get because Mike, who is Gabe in the strip in the comic, has gotten way into like War Machine. And he's gotten into RPGs in general. He's for years he's put off and like just been a console gamer, and now he's on that.
Mm-hmm.
So the setup was like him and Tycho are going to the local gaming store, and he's like, I hate coming here. And Tycho's like, well, why do you come here? And he's like, because this is the only place they sell the little plastic guys. And he's like, well, what's the problem? So they go into the store, and he's like, this looks pretty normal, except for what's that dude in the tracksuit doing here? And you see this big hulking dude, like he looks like a bro, and he's in this like high tech tracksuit. And the guy sees him, and he's like, sup nerds, what you guys doing, you know, what you guys doing here? And like Gabe and Tycho are like, I don't know. And the next trip he's like, yeah, you need to beat it. I got some chicks coming over. So you see him standing outside the door and like Tycho is going crazy. He's like, this can't stand. He's like, you know, this is a place of business. The sign says they're open. I'm going to go in there and demand. And you see the sign flip over from it says, yes, we're open. It says, yes, we're ladies. And Tycho's like, oh, well. Well, what's funny is, so they had this really unflattering portrayal of this guy. Well, on his website, he's now got these big things like, come meet Ernie from Penny Arcade fame. And he's got a Sup Nerds Gaming Night. And, like, he's got this big banner that's like, hope to see Mike and Jerry from Penny Arcade here and, like, all this stuff. But I guess Tycho said in a news post, is like, what is it about gaming stores that a lot of them are ran by pricks? And he theorized that the reason it was because the set of skills that, you know, like most everyone's had a dream of opening a game store, right?
Sure, yeah.
I've wanted to open like a brick and mortar game shop slash
awesome.
Net cafe slash just a cool hangout and you make money. Everybody has that dream. Reality is it's hard. You have to have a businessman. You have to have a venture capital. So he's like, if you draw a Venn diagram of the people that want to open a gaming store and the people that know how to make money and are successful at making money, the slither of intersection are like assholes. So it's like they like the game and all that stuff, but they secretly kind of hate the kind of people that...
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I know some people in business school, and I honestly don't know how game shops... ever open because the people who know enough to make money know enough not to make money owning a game store. Like, there is no money in it.
No, you are basically, unless you get big with multiple chains, and now we're about to talk about this, how the internet has really taken it out.
Yeah.
I mean, the brick and mortar friendly local gaming store is in jeopardy. And you can say the exact same thing about the comic book stores, which where we live are lots of times one and the same.
Yeah.
Like the biggest gaming shop is obviously the Game Preserve. But But the second biggest gaming shop are the comic carnivals, because they host the Friday Night Magics, and they host the D&D sessions, and the Yu-Gi-Oh, and the Pokemon, and all that crap. Hmm. And they sell the supplies, you know, so it's like half comics and half gaming now. The question is, why, you know, and in my experience, do you remember, like, when we got into Star Wars Minis, and we went to go play at the Southside shop, and what a fucking nightmare it was?
Yeah, I was just going to talk about this. I mean,
well, I want to hear your opinion of it.
My opinion was that half of the people there were dicks, and it wasn't just the people running the store, it was the gamers themselves.
Oh, yeah, but that's the thing, the guy running it, the guy that owned the shop was playing in his own goddamn tournament.
Yeah, dick.
Total dick. And, like, I'm a pretty reasonable guy, but I'm also not a pushover. Mm-hmm. And this thing was like an abort. Like, okay, we're supposed to start at, like, 1. At 1:45, he was still taking money from people and all this. And I was getting hungry. So I'm like, I went to the guy's like, hey, when are you going to start? And he was like, it's going to be a bit. I'm like, well, can I step out and get some food?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's totally cool. And you and I left the store and left Peter behind. Mm-hmm. And I get a call like 15 minutes later. We are on our way back with Chick-fil-A, I believe. No, it was Arby's.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, where are you guys at? I'm like, we went to get lunch. He goes, the guy said you're going to forfeit your first match. And I'm like, fuck that. I just paid $40 to get this tournament. He's I'm like, put the dude on the phone. So I got, he's like, well, the thing's starting. I'm like, the thing was supposed to start 45 minutes ago. I asked you if I could get lunch, and you said, okay. He goes, I don't remember saying that. I'm like, I was looking right at you.
Yeah.
I was like, look, I said, I won't be there in 5 minutes. If you start without me and you forfeit me, you're giving me my money back.
Yeah.
And he's like back down because he's a fucking pussy.
And you're even like though, 6'12".
Yeah. Even though, so it's like, you know, he did back down. So we got there. Mm-hmm. And the thing was run, like, I felt like it was designed for his buddies to win the tournament.
I felt like it was a Wizards tournament.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's, like really loosey-goosey rules interpretation, and he's too busy playing and trying to win himself.
Yeah, you cannot play in your own tournament. No. If you're a game shop Massive owner and you're playing your own tournaments, you deserve to fail as a business.
Right. But this guy's the biggest hobby shop in town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's left a big bad taste in my mouth. And I know, like, on the pure hobby store, like the radio-controlled hobby, Hobbytown USA, the two branches are owned here, guy owns those things are such a dick.
As in?
They don't help. They, like, are, like, you go, I went there, and I'm like, I've got $1,000, and I'm going to buy a radio, and I'm going to buy a helicopter, and I've, like, you know, like, I want this, and I just need some questions asked, because I've never done this before. No one would help me. And, like, I'm waving cash around, like, I need assistance, and these guys were just talking to, like, and they've all got this, like, group.
Oh, the same thing,
like, I go in there, and, like, the guys, like, turned away from the counter talking to these guys, and they're, like, just basically bullshitting. Not buying anything, and I got product in hand, and I want checked out, and he's ignoring me.
It comes back to my theory that the people who are in business in the gaming store industry do not want to be in business. They want to play games with their friends.
Right.
Like, the people who want to make money don't open a store. The people who don't care about money open the store and just want to play their games and hang out with their
buddies.
But they
tend to hate their customers
as
a result.
That's the thing. Like, they get their group of friends. Like, they have a small group of friends who they play games with, and they're like, you know, it'd be great if we could do this with everybody and open a store and make money doing this. And then they do that, and they still only hang out with their friends, and they ignore everybody else who is now their customer, should now be top priority. They still want to play games and just jack off. So, I mean...
Well, that explains the owner, but the guys he hires, why are they like that? I mean...
Because they're his buddies.
You think they're his buddies?
Yes.
Because, like, this one dude in Greenfield, I mean, there's like a 20-year discrepancy between him and the guys that work there. Now, that might be just because we've seen this phenomenon before with the Laugh Man. Where a guy, he never ages. Like, he gets 18, and he never matures. So, like, you see him keep growing. Yeah. Like 4 years later, his friend group entirely changes because everybody else is starting to date women and do things, and he's still doing this. And 8 years later, he's outgrown another set of teenagers. Is that what this guy's problem is? Because I don't think they're his original friend set.
Well, I mean, man, after seeing... I'm going to get a lot of shit for this episode.
Why?
Because I'm about to go off the rails on some people.
Like, oh, really?
Like RPG players.
Oh.
Role players.
Oh, my God. Are you sure you want to get
the... I don't want to unleash the full Monty here.
Just to soften the blow, I'm an RPG player, and I think Jim's full of shit.
I don't think so. I think RPG players, age matters a little less. I think you're all there for that common purpose. And, like, some guys, dads will get them into it, and the fathers will continue to game with all the kids' friends, and they all actually become friends.
The Jim's dad model.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
I mean, he was an RPGer, but he was definitely a, you know...
Yeah, we played board games.
Yeah.
And we did basically exactly what I'm describing here with, like... But I think people who play role-playing games tend to do that more.
Yeah.
It kind of wander out of their age group. So I think those are maybe the people who are opening the shops, and then those younger buddies come in and they hire them, and they sit around and play games and ignore their customers.
Gotcha.
That's my theory.
I just, like, I've never had a good experience, except for, I will say that the local, my very local, small town local comic book shop tends to do it right. And I thought back when I was thinking of doing this subject that our friend Mad Brew, who we interviewed about Gen Con and RPGs in general in episode 22, I believe, of Blue Yonder, he actually wrote an article on his website, madbrew.com, about reinventing the local gaming store. And I'm going to put a link on this when on the main site when this cast goes live. But he talks about basically how, you know, you already had this environment where they didn't really give good customer service, and now that Amazon and, like, a few mega gaming stores have gone online, like Star City Games, that sell the product on a sliver of a margin.
Yeah.
Like, you know, retail for a pack of Magic is, like, what, $3.99?
Star City Games can suck my balls. Troll and Toad is where it's at.
All right, whatever. But you're getting your packs for, like, $1 off, $1.50
yeah,
off.
Yeah, they're not $4. They're, like... $2.49.
Yeah, and if you're looking for rares, like, they're literally half off from Star City.
Yeah.
Because the local gaming store, everything's so much more expensive. And, like, sleeves, my God, the markup on sleeves at, like, you know, local gaming stores. So between Amazon and all that, it's like, okay, are you going to get in your you're going to get in your car and burn $10 of gas and go to unfriendly environment to get stuff that you can get for half off from Amazon or these other places?
Aaron drives a tank, by the way.
I drive a Transformer.
M1 Abrams.
actually...
No, I get your point, though. Like, why would you go through the hassle, bad customer service, making the trip when you can just order online?
Right.
The only reason to do that, I can see, is to have them immediately.
Well, and here's the thing, what he says is what local gaming stores or local hobby shops in general need to do, he says, is you got to make the shop an event. Like, every night, you should be running a tournament or an event of some sort, or foster, like, gaming table stuff where people want to go.
Yeah.
You know, to meet other people and go for the gamers.
And there's, I mean, a shop over in Plainfield, Avon, whatever it is.
Games to Die For.
Games2d4.com, yeah.
Yep.
They actually do that pretty well. They have a lot of tables sitting around. They have tournaments all the time. And there is kind of a community there.
They've gone a little bit to the dark side, too, because if you've listened to Peter talk about some of the crazy politics and how they had their...
Yeah, and that's the friend syndrome.
Yes.
That's what it is,
yeah,
man.
It starts to feel kind of rigged, but like, they do a pretty good job.
To any people who are looking to open game stores is do not hire your friends.
Right.
Do not, because
that's
you don't want friends
though.
As employees. You want employees as employees.
Because here's a true story. Ask Cheek and I actually... came this close to starting a game shop.
How close is this close? Describe it to
this,
our listeners.
Like, I'm holding my thumb and finger. Okay, I'm going to make it 2 inches apart. I had an inch, but in realistic, it's 2 inches.
Okay.
And we actually were going to bring Peter on board to, like, be our primary clerk, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, like, that's your natural inclination because you want to hire your friends.
It's a mistake, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it would be. It's a mistake to have your friends work for you in anything.
Yes.
Because I've had to, you know, I had a friend that I hired at a place. I didn't have to fire him. And it's like, friendship never recovered. But anyway, he's like, says, like, you got to provide loaner games and accessories. Like, he's advocating having a library of core rule books. Dice and all that stuff there for people to, like, oh, you want to try zombie dice? Here you go.
That'll be $4.
But like, no, just like take it. It's like, oh, you're new to role playing games. You want to play the player's guide or buy the, mm-hmm. well, here, just use it for this session. And then if you want, you want to take it home, you can buy it.
Yeah.
So it's basically have a small library of used stuff that you can then sell to people or just loan it.
We want to play D&D first edition. Oh, well, here you go. Here's my book.
Right. Run demos and teach games. Like, Friday night, you're new to Magic the Gathering. We're not going to condescend to you. We're not going to throw you to a tier one deck. We're going to, like, sit down and teach you how to play the game with a starter deck.
Maybe we should do, we've got the Ultimate series. Maybe we should do an Ultimate Game Shop series.
All right. We're kind of doing it right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more that could go into it, though. Like, what precisely want to see? So, yeah. I mean, maybe we can
I had some really cool ideas. But moving on, he said, embrace technology. Have basically some workstations set aside so people can access their DDI statistics. You know, look up their count, see what their rank is, and any of that crap. Mm-hmm. Actually have is where they can access the internet for like just rule questions and stuff like that. Cause people always have, and they need to go to the, like playing Magic. They've got the Oracle where you can go and see the actual ruling instead of, that has all the facts and stuff applied to it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, get some Microsoft Surfaces. I know it's going to be expensive, but they're coming down. And that's again, why are people coming down? If you could play Settlers of and you didn't see this because you were at Gen Con, but Settlers of Catan on a Microsoft Surface tablet looks like the shit. Like, it keeps track of everything. Everything moves super quick, and it's like, it's super... I've never played Settlers, and I was like, had a giant boner for it. I'm like, this makes it look so much effortless and fun. But that's like the high end, but there's no reason they can't just have a public workstation that's locked down. And
open your game shop on the moon. That'll bring people in. That's an attraction, right?
I don't know.
It's a little high end, but
and I think there's a demographic that's a problem there. Like, there's not a lot of moon dwellers.
Not a lot. But everyone's a gamer.
But yeah, here's the idea that I always thought. Like, I don't understand why more people don't do this. For example, I originally asked the guy, "Hey, do you have anything that I can eat here?" Like Cokes or snacks and stuff. He didn't.
Yeah. Whoa.
Like, so have a bunch of impulse buys. Have little mini bags of chips. Have Cokes. Have energy drinks.
Yeah.
Have, like, all the geeky mana crap and all that stuff. Sell that to where, like, on a Friday night, you don't have to leave the store. And you can, that stuff is insane markup.
Oh, yeah. Games to Die For actually does that.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah.
Support secondhand markets, which a lot of people do. But they do it, like, in the peripherals. Like, you can buy... Yeah. Magic cards and D&D minis and stuff like that secondhand. Mm-hmm. But why don't they have like a secondhand section like GameStop?
Like half price books
or like GameStop.
Yeah.
You can buy the new core book or you can buy this used one. I mean, that's like a market that they're not doing. I mean, basically you're giving that market to eBay and Amazon and all that stuff. And that's the one place where they really can't compete with you any better because the secondhand market is what it is. And if you're not even participating, let's see, what else? They said reward customer loyalty. Every gaming shop should have some sort of loyalty card. It's so easy to pull off now, and it gets people coming to one particular location. I could talk a million years about that because that's my expertise at work.
Yeah.
Like, I created my company's loyalty program, and that marketing's evil. It's an insidious... And it's black magic, but it works.
Yeah.
And I can back it up with science and statistics. He said, bring star power. Like, this is a good idea. I don't know how well you could pull it off in Indianapolis, but, have developers, when they're in town for, like, conferences and stuff, have them out to your site to do, like, signings.
Yeah.
And,
a lot of comic shops will do that.
And, if you can't get the big guys, get some of the niche people out. Privateer Press, maybe you're not going to get Wizards of the Coast, but you can get Privateer Press out there.
Sure.
To do their, War Machine and crap. What's their basically D&D 3.5 stuff? Pathfinder. He's basically laying out the strategy, and I was thinking that none of the big guys in town do, and they're kind of like, you know, I've noticed that Game Preserve especially has gone to smaller and smaller spaces and cheaper. Comic Carnival has recently started downsizing and scaling back, and they moved, like, the east location went from the mall to, like, some BFE place on, you know, Pendleton Pike. Yeah. But the little guys, like my hometown comic shop that does this, he bought a space underneath him that he has games every day. He usually runs like two tournaments or open gaming sessions a day. Like one right after school for like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! And then stuff that's like after work for like Magic and D&D and stuff like that. He has secondhand stuff. He, you know, caters to you. He orders stuff for you. He has good customer service. He's on Facebook posting like 2 and 3 times a day about the stuff they're getting in the store.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's a very good idea, making use of technology. He also offers...
Even just, like, getting the word out about stuff that's happening and that you're even there. Like,
yes.
Because every once in a while, I'll visit Downtown Comics here.
Yep.
Which is... They have locations everywhere, but the one downtown is pretty cool. Downtown. They do a lot of... Well, I was going to say they do a lot of, like, tournaments and events and stuff like that. And they will get on their feeds, like Twitter and Facebook, and announce stuff they're doing. And... Because I don't often think about them. Like, I'm not every day, oh, I wonder what they're doing. But when I see that in my feed, I'm like, oh, I forgot about Downtown Comics. I'm going to go over there and check out what they've got.
Right.
So that's a good way to keep people interested in your store.
Right.
There's another side. We've been talking a lot about the game shop owners. I want to talk about the game shop patrons a little bit.
All right, do it.
Because fuck, man. There's a lot to say about these people.
All right.
Some of these gamers, don't be a dick, man. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. Especially in, like, the tabletop setting, they haven't heard the gospel of Wheaton.
Well, I've never done the tabletop, but the Magic.
Well, that's I consider it. If it happens on a tabletop, it's tabletop gaming. Okay?
Well, I set my laptop on the tabletop.
No, that's laptop gaming.
You can't. It's also tabletop gaming.
Yeah, but
gaming.
It's laptop based. Even
all right,
though
whatever.
It's you go on a top level. So you got a tabletop, and then there is a laptop on top of it. The top level. It's like when you're playing baseball, and you got your hands over hands, and whoever ends up on top, that's who goes first. Well, your laptop is on top of the table, therefore it supersedes.
Gotcha.
It's laptop gaming.
Anyway, I just wasted all of 40 seconds of my life.
We got some time to kill.
Okay. No, the people who play in some of these Magic tournaments... to chill the fuck out. Like,
yes.
This is not the end of the world. I understand
this isn't the pro tour.
Be a lot to you.
This isn't the pro tour in Hawaii.
This is not Kyoto. You're not playing for 40 grand here. And even if you were, 40 grand is no reason to get yourself shot.
Yeah.
Because you guys are being dicks, and that's what's going to happen to you if you continue to piss people off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how you can get so angry about a minute mistake that a brand fucking new player makes.
Yeah, it's
like,
one thing...
I stroll in, I'm like, I've never played this before, guys. Go a little easy on me. And then they're like, you can't fucking do that. Take that back. Suck a dick. And I'm like...
Especially when they're kicking your ass.
Yes.
They're kicking your ass.
They're already ramming your ass into the ground, and then they're going to rub it in your face.
Right.
And they're going to be a dick about it.
And then what's always funny is when you're a new player, when you make the jump from scrub to, like, reasonable player, every once in a while you win.
Mm.
Like Peter talked about this all the time. They cannot get over it. They talk about how luck and how cheap it was.
Oh,
and how,
yeah.
Oh, that's your bullshit deck. You know, you got blah, blah. You know,
it's FPS headshot syndrome.
So what did they call that? Like,
I had that
Bant deck that, like, every once in a while would just go on a tear and whip someone's ass. And they were saying, oh, it's janky. That was called it. Oh, that's your fucking janky Bant deck. You know?
Well, you just got your ass whipped by a janky
right.
deck, bitch.
Yeah. That janky
Yo,
dick,
bitch.
That janky dick. Janky dick.
That janky
dick
janky
just fucked
dick.
You up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And... So,
like, it makes people not want to come back. It actually hurts the store that you enjoy playing at.
It's the opposite of inclusive. It's exclusive.
It's the definition of being a dick.
And I don't know why these guys, it's like, do they not realize that it's like my 4-year-old son doesn't understand that if he wins a game every time, no one wants to play with him. But he's 4 years old. How is a 35-year-old man not understand the concept is if you dominate everyone through superior, if you don't try to... increase everyone's skill level and keep it interesting, the people aren't going to want to play with you anymore.
Here's the other side of that. If you're not a dick to them while you're beating them, if you're educating them, if you're being gracious about winning,
right,
then they are still going to want to play,
right,
even though they may be losing every time.
Right.
And that fosters a community at your store. It makes your tournament bigger. It makes your cash prize pool bigger.
Right.
I keep whipping their ass. No problem. Just don't be a dick, and you actually reap rewards from
it.
If you have this uber-competitive mentality, well, that may be the way to look at it.
Right.
Like, I'm increasing my take by doing that.
And I think there's also, and this is kind of controversial, and again, I'm a gaming paladin. I find it very hard to just tear someone's throat out, to my detriment sometimes. But I think there's different gears you need to have. Like, on a Friday night Magic, if you are swearing and getting red-faced and calling bullshit, you need to re-examine your life. Now, you're at a pro tour qualifier, then hold their feet to the fire, man. Make sure every little thing, be a rules lawyer. If you're at a pro tour, if you're playing for money, fine. But if you're at a local gaming store just playing casual Magic or Friday night Magic, chill out. And if I was the gaming store owner, I would be very tempted to throw these guys' asses out. Because the other dirty little secret is the guys that are at the top level, they're actually making money playing off this Friday night Magic.
Yeah.
Because they're going home with 6-packs and 10-packs and 12-packs off the backs of the scrubs. I mean, it's the same guy. They're no longer your customer. They're a goddamn hustler. So it's
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're defeating your community that you're trying to
foster. I would take them aside and, like, look, you're a good player. I don't mind you taking home all these packs, but you need to be a little bit more gracious and a little bit more friendly, or you're not welcome to play here anymore.
Yeah, because you're hurting my business.
And if they don't come, fine, because four other gamers will not be driven off by their asshole attitudes.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So, take the players who are assholes at the table to task.
Yes.
Don't let them do that.
But all too often, like Peter told me, his I think he actually mentioned this in the podcast that we did on RPG that you bailed on.
Fuck that.
He talked about his first game experience where the people that the shop owner picked to be the leaders of, like, the Dungeons & Dragons community were horrible GMs. And it's like, oh, you're a new player? Well, roll for initiative. Oh, you died. You died rolling for initiative. You tripped over your dick and fell on your sword and you died. Sorry, that's it for you tonight. And then he proceeded with his campaign as planned with his other core set of players.
Hope to see you next week.
Yeah, every week you come back and I'm like, you're not getting it. Okay, roll for initiative again. Oh, you rolled a 19? Ah, let me look at my table. Yeah, you tripped on your dick again and died. I mean, that's
a nat 20. Yeah, that's a dick trip. Sorry.
And then if, like, Peter said, this is bullshit. Why? I mean, I've yet to survive the first round. The DM basically said, well, if you don't, it's my group, you don't like it, pound. I mean, if I was a local games owner, I would have yanked that guy by his collar and thrown him out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
This is, you're basically turning away money. there's like Peter was a walking wallet, and he let that guy run him off his store.
Yeah.
For the same group of guys that probably haven't bought a piece of product for weeks.
Yeah, and they're probably the owner's buddies, or at least he's familiar with them enough to not want to be a dick and throw them out.
Yeah.
But for the sake of your business that you are running, you are no longer in the business of being friends with all the gamers. You're in the business of running a game store.
Agreed.
And you can't have stuff like that happening because it is destroying your business.
Totally. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I just can't get over. It's like a sick dynamic between the shop owners and the regular patrons, where they get this twisted. You know, I don't know if it's loyalty or, like you said, they really are friends, or, you know, again, a lot of these shop owners are nerds. And I think, like, my impression of the guy from the Game Preserve is that he's like a sycophant. Like, you know, we were all three new players shelling out money, and he let, like, outrageous stuff. Like, at one point, I was, like, good-natured getting my ass kicked by this 13-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Who was a dick, by the way.
Yeah.
And, like, I got a lucky move with some kind of back-to-tank maneuver, and then he, in it, comes, like, oh, I said, Jesus Christ, this guy called me out.
Didn't you say Jesus fucking Christ?
No, I just said Jesus Christ. No, I did not.
Really?
I did not. Wow. I just said Jesus Christ. And this guy called me out and said, he like practically screamed, don't say that. And then when I whipped around and like, what? He like said, like calmed down. I was like, I'd prefer you not say that. And I like looked at the shop owner like, we're all adults.
Well, not all of you. Okay. The 13-year-old kid is not.
But we're all, I mean, like, you know, I'm like, okay, this is your house. What are you going to say about it? He wouldn't even make eye contact with me. He heard it. His face was red. He wouldn't make eye contact. So I'm like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I was so irritated that this, I don't know. I was just over that group at that point.
Yeah, you weren't coming back.
No, I was not coming back. At multiple points in the game. I did not enjoy the experience. You know, I just thought, I don't know.
It was ruined by both the players and the owner of the store.
Yeah, like there was only one or maybe two players out of a field of 20-something that I thought were cool at all.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what are you going to do, nerds, man?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I want to, actually, I do want to start a hobby shop. That would be a pretty awesome ultimate gaming store because
just
I have a lot.
You're not
going to
make much money.
I have a lot of ideas. Well, see, I don't know. If you are not going to make a ton of money.
Yeah,
not.
It's not like you're becoming a Wall Street stock
But
trader.
Could you, you know, put food on the table? And,
probably.
You know, keep the power on and have a lot of fun doing it. One thing I want to talk about, because one of my very favorite sites on the internet, it's not updated much anymore because I think they got retired. It's Axe of Gord, A-C-T-S of G-O-R-D.com. And this guy ran a video game rental store and sales store in Canada. You know, your basic local, like ours is called Disc Replay. Mm-hmm. His was called Gamer's Edge, I believe.
It's an edgy name.
Yeah. But he ran the shop and he posted these are basically like a tongue in cheek recollection of all the crazy things he had. Mm-hmm. Like with mostly it's with the guys who were shoplifters, but he also like people would just come in with relatively innocent questions and he just mocked them. You know, like it's hilarious to read that. And he's got like the Book of Villainy, which is about shoplifters, mm-hmm. the Book of Wrath, which is about him. You know, doing like just getting pissed off at customers, and the Book of Ignorance where he just makes fun of ignorant people, and it's just hilarious. But I thought it's like, okay, I actually like how he's running the business because he wasn't taking any crap off customers, but he also was a little bit maybe too much.
That's the thing, yeah.
I mean,
it has to be a balance.
He was like a more intimidating version of the Jack Black character from High Fidelity.
More intimidating.
Yeah, because Jack Black wasn't intimidating. I guess Gord was a physical specimen. He was like 6'4", linebacker in high school, like could physically throw people out of his shop.
Yeah. He's like Ernie from
Basically he's like, sup nerds. I got chicks coming over, beat it. But I encourage anybody that wants a good laugh and waste some time to go to axeofgord.com because that's I don't know. If you want to be a dick as a shop owner, at least have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Or at least know you could go out of business at any moment.
Right.
Be a dick.
Right.
I don't know. All right. That's all I got, man.
We've got, I'm not looking forward to this, but we made a pact with our listeners and we've got to honor it.
Shit.
Staffa's Corner. We got all discussing the, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual rights last week, and now we're going to get a little bit racial up in here.
Staffa, what are you doing to us, man?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No,
you're killing me.
Staffa himself, I preface this, is a minority. He's a Muslim American.
Next week, I want something about like Rainbow Bright or something not offensive to anyone.
Yeah,
the Gummy Bears cartoon, maybe.
We got to get like to some light topics, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe some feedback on gaming stories or something. But I'm going to just say that the views of Staffa are not necessarily the views of Blue Yonder. But we're going to read it and then we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
So he says, Dear Blue Yonder, February is approaching and that means it's going to be Black History Month. Why do blacks get their own month? What about all the other ethnicities and nationalities? Where is Chinese, Hispanic, or Portuguese History Month? George Washington Carver may have invented peanut butter, but Arabs invented algebra. As delicious peanut butter is, you guys wouldn't be able to record a podcast and upload them on the internet without algebra. I'm not sure if that's actually true.
It might be true. I don't know.
And you can't do that binary math.
That's true.
I mean, because you got to know that to be able to route tables and you know, do subnet masks and stuff. But maybe algebra is in there somewhere. Definitely not the concept of zero, which they might have invented. Didn't the Arabs or Indians?
I believe so, yeah.
Not our dumb Aryan dumb asses, for sure.
We were too busy inventing Pabst.
So he says, therefore, algebra is greater than peanut butter, and anyone who thinks otherwise is a jerk. Pedophiles are also jerks, hence anyone who thinks peanut butter is greater than algebra is a pedophile. I'm not sure I agree with your logic there, Staffa.
It's a bit of a leap.
And I gotta say that as a straight, white, male of the privileged ruling class, I stay the hell away from this topic because every day of every month of every year is White History Month.
Yeah.
And is white, and every convention that I've ever been to is fucking White Expo.
Yeah.
PAX included, Gen Con especially. So, but I can see, and this is something that I think is coming to a head in our country, because you've got, you know, there's this jockeying for position about who's among the minorities, about who's the majority minority.
Majority minority.
Wow. Yeah. Like, you know, for a lot of times, like these people, those people.
These minorities.
So these minorities have been jockeying about like their needs and theirs, right? Well, now there's a lot more minorities at the table. You've got, you know, Arab Americans.
I'm pretty sure there are the same amount of minorities that there were before.
No. God,
it's just
no.
That, oh,
you think by percentage? Yeah. Because they're not, dude, in Saudi Arabia, Arabs aren't the minorities. Obviously. You do realize that, right?
Yes, of course I realize
they're
that.
The majority.
That's what I was saying. Okay. They're around.
In this country, and yeah. I think there's a lot of friction because, like, you know, a lot of the traditional groups that, you know, are used to getting the lion's share of the media attention are, so now are having to share this, and there's, like, people... You know, it's not, because you've heard a lot of, I bristle when I hear a white person say, and I've heard members of my own family, like, just, you know, bristle at the idea of the Black History Month or Black Expo, which is hosted here in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of offensive to me because it's like, don't you realize that it's like, you know, it's White History Month every, when you go to high school, you're taught basically white history and Anglo-centric history. But for a minority to bring it up, I guess it's a fair point. And my question is, well, why don't we have... You know what? Get a month going that teach Arab.
Well, there are only
Arab 12. History.
So I mean,
there's not that many minorities. There's not more minorities than there are like races and VGA planets, right? That's what they're all based on.
I don't know how many feds do we have in the U.S. now? Are they a majority minority?
Yeah, I think that like the lizard guys are Koreans.
The Gorn.
Yeah, the Gorn are Koreans.
Oh my God!
And
going off the rails.
The Borg are Slavics. But anyway, so like wow. I'm like, there's enough room in this boat for a lot. Maybe we should have a History Month for everybody.
I think Dolph Lundgren is actually a Cylon.
Okay,
that's my prediction.
Probably. He sure doesn't.
He doesn't age,
and he doesn't act,
and he doesn't act.
He doesn't show emotion,
and he basically is a robot.
Yeah,
from all I can tell.
Oh yeah, or a Universal Soldier at least. That was actually a true story.
He's not even
him.
A skin job. He's just a straight-up Cylon.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. So that's what I'm going to say about that. We have fulfilled our obligation to read any and all feedback that we are sent in. And
we have.
We've given Staffa his corner.
And I've successfully avoided talking about
it. Yeah, thank you, ass. I'm extremely uncomfortable.
You should be.
So, but I... You know.
So sign up, guys. Only 11 months out of the year left. You got to get on that shit.
Yeah. You need to, like, Staffa, you need to get with the, what is that? The CIAI, the Council on Islamic American Relations, CAIR. You need to get the lobbying for that. I mean, March is open. August, that's my birthday. That'd be kind of cool. You know, to have Arab American Month or Muslim American Month. So it's there's only 11 months to go.
Yeah,
so go,
get
gotta,
on it.
Got to get on it.
Don't procrastinate.
You got to get on it. So anyway, also, we want to talk about the personal arrogance. I got to shout out their new site is actually pretty good, and they've gotten me there like every day with this new content.
Yeah, they're keeping it strong. The thing is,
I about burst a blood vessel when I read the why. Geeks make good partners, or why you should date a geek.
Yeah, why should
I might actually go on to a segment one of these days about how angry that makes me as a man.
Yeah. I mean,
and how that's such spectacularly poor relationship dynamics. Now, I understand it's tongue-in-cheek and, you know, that she's that I'm not casting aspersions on her or her relationship. I'm just saying that what she said, I can think, is long-term damaging to male-female relationships. And I'll articulate that at great length one of these days. But I got to say, they're getting me there, and I've commented a couple times. And then they went and clowned us today. Like, they roped us in with the whole kumbaya.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, when their site was down.
And the lack bar was right.
And their site was all Podbean, and we had the superior WordPress. Now they, like, got all this new hotness, and they're coming out with both guns blaring.
They're like, oh,
well played, Matt and Jamie. Yeah. Well played.
You know what? We tried to step it up. We tried to step it up. Our first site was a step up.
Site was awesome. It had custom graphics, and there's like all these crazy features. And you know what? It was a giant pain in the ass. So we started out stepping up, and then we stepped down so we could keep doing this every week.
Absolutely. So I'm interested to see how long they can keep it up.
I want to see them go a year without missing a week.
Although it seems like they have a bit of a staff.
They do have some staff.
They have like three or four other people who are working
It's bigger than our staff.
No.
I've got staff envy.
But their Schwartz is nowhere near as big.
But seriously, they've had some good stuff on the, you know, they actually scooped Staffa on the Batman villains today. He had a post up like a couple hours later, but I'd already shot my wad on the, personal arrogance site on that. So, makes my eyes bleed looking at it, but I likes the content so far.
Yeah, and I look at it in the morning instead of drinking coffee.
Yeah, just a shot. Ow!
Yeah.
So, I think that's about it for the show.
That's it. Although I want to say to Personal Arrogance, we are not out of this fight.
No.
We have not surrendered. No. We're actually going to come back stronger than you could possibly imagine.
You've struck us down.
You have struck us
down. But now we're in ghost mode and shit is real. Shit just got real.
Absolutely. So be expecting another volley.
Listeners, if you want to support us in the war, we could use some iTunes feedback. We could use some Facebook friends.
Lots of money.
Lots of money. Our currency is your love. So spray that love all over us on Facebook. If you bring five friends, five warm bodies to the Facebook site, we still got some Shawnimal Ninjas left.
Yep.
See our website for details and how you can get one of them cute little bastards.
We might. We're recording this a full week in advance. So yeah. Who knows what goes on
between now and then. We'll probably have Shawnimals. Well, and if you know what? If we run out of Shawnimals, I will buy more Shawnimals.
More Shawnimals.
And fulfill any obligations we have to the listeners.
What if 1,000 people?
I will take it on the chin.
That's
I will cash in my 401k.
Man. Whoa.
Because that would be sweet.
and that would be 5,000 new friends on Facebook.
Yes. So. We'd have an empire. Because then I would command them to attack Personal Arrogance and we'd take their lunch money.
Oh, yeah.
5,000, I would do it.
Yeah, that would do it.
That would do it. You can send us an email at blueyonder@baldmove.com. You know, we will read anything as we displayed tonight.
Yeah, we will.
And
under
what else? Twitter.com/baldmove.
Yeah. Twitter, Facebook.
We already did Facebook.
Jazz.
Facebook sucks on the URLs.
Forums.baldmove.com. I just put up a page. I don't even know if you saw this yet. Our Minecraft info. So if you want to join us for this Minecraft-a-palooza action
going on.
Just go to our site and there's a Minecraft link at the top there.
Sweet.
Give you our server info and a map. We get the map.
Baldmove.com/map.
Yep.
You want to see what we've been up to.
And that's it. Maybe no crazy outro stuff this time.
Yeah. I feel a little dry.
We're failing the listeners.
Yeah,
sorry.
For the last time.
Okay.
So just vote a Bo Jackson at the end. That'll solve all the problems.
Bo Jackson? All right. We'll give you some Bo Jackson.
We referenced Bo Jackson the last
time. We'll give you some Jackson this
time. Yeah.
There you go.
Spruce up the Jackson.
All right. Well, that's it. Until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard. Ciao.